Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A guy runs out in front of his car, police officer shoots him dead. He leaves the scene of the crime, and the rest of the story is about his experiences.
The beat when they accidentally face off with the cop that does the shooting at the end is just, I think, is absolutely phenomenal how that kind of builds up to that scene.
Yeah. There's so many layers.
I just thought it was really fresh and exciting.
And it was only an hour and a half, so I didn't need to go to the toilet. So five.
There's so many parts of which are really lighthearted and jovial, but there's so many parts that really just kind of hit home. And I think it's just an extraordinary story. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Flicks Watcher Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Helen.
Hello.
Harry.
Hello.
And Amy. And we're going to be talking about blind spotting.
Thank you, as always, to the mighty people for the mighty, mighty tunes. And thanks to Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills.
Please do remember to write a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts, anywhere you can do where you listen to the podcast, because it really does help us.
And you can join in the conversation with us on Twitter
at FlixWatcherPod and on Instagram
at FlixWatcher. Hello and welcome to this episode of Flicks Watcher Podcast. Joining us remotely today, we have Amy and Harry. If you would like to say hello and introduce yourselves to our listeners, please.
Hello, I'm Amy from the Mum and Mama podcast. Me and Harry, me and my best friend Harry, basically... I wanted to do a positive podcast about being a single parent, as I am a single parent, and Harry, my good friend, co-parents. And we thought we'd like to put something positive out into the world about our situation as a beacon of light for anyone that was considering changing their lifestyle or who just needed a bit of a cheer up, really. It's you don't have to be a parent to listen to the podcast. I have a few friends that don't have kids that like listening to it, because Harry just basically takes the piss out of me pretty much most of the time. So it's quite amusing, lighthearted. And we just talk about kids stuff, women's stuff, dating, exercise, and whatever else we've done that week, really. But it's very good. Honest.
It's very good.
And you've had guests like Kobe?
We were very lucky to have Kobe on talking about his little baby.
Very lucky.
And we've had loads of people. We had a psychiatrist who was fascinating. Sorry, psychologist, child psychologist called Joanna Fortune, who was talking about parenting. And she was really interesting. We had the lovely Susie Gage, who is another scientist.
Yeah.
Drugs. Yep. Yeah. So Why to Drugs podcast. Talking about drugs, all the drugs she's taken while she's been pregnant. That's a joke. She hasn't taken any drugs. She doesn't take any drugs. But her experience, as Kobe had similar experiences, because his wife, did she give birth? Was it just before lockdown or during lockdown?
No, during lockdown.
I can't remember.
So
Susie's gone through the whole pregnancy, the scan, so her partner can't go to the scan with her, and she'll have the baby in November, I think she's due. So I'm imagining it's obviously we're still going to be in some kind of pandemic. So she's been talking about her experiences.
Nice. And Harry, do you have anything to add to that?
So I'm Harry. I'm the slightly more animated, funny, witty one of the two, hence why I'm mum and not mama. So basically the how I got involved, because I've got very separate situation than Amy. Amy's very much, I'm a single parent and life is so, like a single parent. and all the hashtags about single parents and all her forwarded stories are about being a single parent. But my story is very different, and I think that we collaborate quite nicely, because although I live on my own with my child, I'm with my partner, he lives in another house, probably safer that way. But it allows us to explore different stories, different, you know, sort of different guests. We've had Saski talking about LGBTQ issues. We've got, at the moment, we had last week, we had Bella and Mel talking about grief. So some of the subject matters are really quite far and wide. And I think when we first talked about it, we did sort of say, oh, back being a single parent or a parent with a child, and how you can have positive experiences. But throughout the weeks, we've sort of realised that actually that's quite limiting. So it's really nice to be able to, you know, Kobe, you came on, and we've got other people that, you know, we've got planned for the next couple of months, really. And it's nice to see it evolving. I think that's the story of it.
So we asked you on to talk about films, and you kind of both went, oh, but it'll be fine. Today we're talking about Blindspotting, which is your choice, Amy.
Yes.
Can you tell us why you chose it and then give us a synopsis in a minute or less?
Oh, God, this is going to be hard. Right. The reason I chose this was because I'd watched it just a couple of weeks before we spoke to you. I've got a terrible memory. So if you'd have said, just pick a film.
Just easiest.
It would have, I was like, I knew that was the last film I'd watched on Netflix. And it's really good. So obviously I wanted to choose a film that I liked and that was really good. And I really enjoyed it. So, but that is really why I chose it. Because it was the most recent one.
Well, I mean, it's honest.
It's a choice, yeah.
Well, yeah. Rather than looking through and thinking, oh, yeah.
So...
Can you remember enough to tell us what happens in a minute?
Yeah, I was
luckily
say.
I watched it the other night.
Okay.
So I do, and I make notes. Basically, the film starts on...
I made notes.
I did make notes.
Saturn.
The main character, Colin, the film begins, he's got 3 days left of his probation. And it starts, it's set in Oakland in California. And the film starts, he's sitting in his friend's car and his mate's got loads of guns in the car and he's like, I can't be caught with, you know, all these guns in the car, because obviously he's on probation. And he drives home and a guy runs out in front of his car and he's being chased by the police. And then he runs past, the police officer comes up behind him, shoots him dead. And he's sitting there in the car, obviously very shocked, but he leaves the scene of the crime because obviously he's very scared. And the rest of the story is about his experiences.
So, Harry, had you heard about Blindspotting before Amy chose it? And what were your kind of initial thoughts on it?
I've got to be really honest. No, I hadn't.
You didn't watch it?
I did watch it. I did watch it. And I honestly was like, what the fuck is this? Like, I was really shocked by Amy's choice.
Really?
I'll tell you why. Yeah, because Amy's quite... I like films, but I like just watching films. I don't check who's in them. I don't know who's directed it. I don't know anything about it. I just like watching films. But Amy is like a film buff. Like, she will tell you anything about a film. And I was just watching it going, this just doesn't marry up to Amy's choice. However, the last half an hour of the film, then I kind of understood why she picked it. Because that was the bit that I really enjoyed. The rest of it, I was just like, oh, this is all over the place.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was it about the last half hour that grabbed you?
Because it really hit home. And I think that the times that we're in at the moment and the subject matter is quite close to me.
Yeah.
I have a mixed heritage son. And, you know, some of the things... I don't know, that last half an hour, like when he... am I allowed to just jump in?
You can
in
be specific, and, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Give spoilers them. Are allowed.
Okay. So when they go into the party and there's 3 black people and the rest are white people and it's all quite gentrified and they're talking about, you know, the table and it's oak and it's 140 years old and she wants to put the glass on it. I think from that point, it becomes a bit of a real situation for me that, yeah, there is this massive divide and how then it all snowballs. And the bit that really, and this is quite bizarre, but the bit that really struck me was the last scene when they're sitting in the van and he hands him the green juice. And it's like, I would have personally wanted to explore it more going forward, but it stopped. And I was like, fuck. So I thought some of the first bits was a bit drivelly, a bit nonsense. But the end bit, I would have liked to have seen more of. But then that's just how, because I wanted to see how that relationship would have changed, because it needed to change. But then it didn't seem like it was going to. You know what I mean?
What are your thoughts, Helen?
So I hadn't seen this, but it had been on my list for a while. I think I hadn't seen it because I was kind of put off by the image that Netflix kind of put on them. And I thought it was this kind of like weird buddy comedy thing. And I was a bit like, I'm not really sure about that. But I thought it was amazing. I thought it was really good. I've really got behind this kind of, it is kind of disorientating the filming style. I was thinking how in the 70s, you know, you had Hitchcock and everything was all about, you know, the mise-en-scene and the auteur and, you know, the class actors and, you know, perfect framing. And this is just completely led by emotion and thoughts, and, you know, the cameras at the start are just sort of there and in your face. It's almost like it's filmed, you know, on a mobile. And I was just like really dazzled by that. And the two performances are incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I think what I really liked is that the film's only an hour and a half, and yet within what, the first maybe 20 minutes, you already feel like you've spent time watching these two guys grow up together, and you kind of just really feel like the friendship they've had and how they've grown up and what they were like when they were younger and what they were like when they are now. And it just had this, it's very rare that you get that with films. So I was really impressed by it and really engaged with the whole thing. And I hadn't realised it was 2008, so it's been out quite a while. 18, sorry. I always get the one on that. 2018. I'm surprised that it kind of doesn't feel like a bigger film. It feels like it needs to be kind of bigger and have a bigger audience.
Yeah.
Well, it came out, I think it came out in the UK in 2019. But I was a big fan of this film. I didn't have a chance to see it in the cinema, though I knew it was out.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of David Diggs, who's played Colin, and I knew about it was a story that him and Raphael Cazal, who plays Miles in the story, they brought this whole story, this whole film to life, which is really cool. And that's why I guess, Helen, you can really see their relationship as friends popping up on the screen, because they are friends, and everything is kind of built around them. I'm not sure how true the story is to their life, but it's great. And you know, as Amy said, the story of a police shooting and police brutality and manslaughter and murder is something that's really prevalent nowadays. And even today, you know, as we record this, there's a guy in San Antonio, I think it was, or Arizona, who was killed by police in the States. Mm.
What, today?
Yeah, today. So it's all kind of popping off, and it is really relevant today.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's another film called The Hate U Give, which kind of followed similar storyline about police brutality, especially in the black and Hispanic community. But yeah, David Diggs, who plays Colin, is one of my favorite people in the world right now, because he plays a key role in Hamilton.
Yeah.
And the way they kind of, him and Raphael kind of interweave their hip hopness and their flow and their rhyming all the way through the storyline. And they come to that kind of the beat when they accidentally face off with a cop that does the shooting at the end, is just, I think it's absolutely phenomenal how that kind of builds up to that scene.
Yeah.
And there's so many key points in this film, like when, as Amy said, the first scene, they reveal all these guns, and then of course the guns have to play off somewhere later on in the film. And the scariest point is when Miles's son is like, they all come out of this bathroom and the boy's just holding this gun, playing with it. And it's just like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
So there's so many parts of which are really lighthearted and jovial, but there's so many parts that really just kind of hit home, and I think it's just an extraordinary story. So I like it.
So, I think there's another bit which I found it quite interesting, and that's the judicial system in America and how it's so different from ours. So,
yeah.
You know, you've got your halfway houses and, you know, you have to stay in them for a number of years. And then, you know, once you meet that probation period, you then kind of, you're then free. It's just, it's such a weird system compared to ours, and how the sentences for each state are completely different. But, you know, for a black man, it's, you know, you could be looking at 100 years with however many sentences they put on each one. So it's that part of it as well, which you could see that was sort of a story in a story.
Yeah,
was really interesting because it's very different to how we're used to sentencing in Britain.
But then it's what so the guy who kind of run the halfway house that he was in, because he kept going home late, and he said to him, look, you know, you're a convicted felon and that's how you're going to be seen for the rest of your life. So you have to always prove that you're something else. And you just think, but that's not just the fact that because he's a convicted felon, but also because he's black. So he's always going to be seen, and he's always going to be fighting against the racial stereotypes. Mm. There's so many layers. And the one thing that I really liked about it was the whole gentrification of Oakland, because it's kind of similar to what's happened in East London. My friend lives in California. She moved over to San Francisco like 10 years ago. And I went out to see her at the start, and we kind of drove near to Oakland. And she was like, that's like a terrible place. You can't go there. It's really rough. But obviously now the hipsters have moved in. The prices are being driven up. All the local people are being driven out. It's, you know, it's the same old story. And that was reflected in you mentioned the green juice. So the news agent's selling the bottles of green juice, and they're like, oh, I'll have a try of that. How much is it? And it's like $10 a bottle. You know, it's just people can't afford to live there.
Yeah. How quickly that $10 for this green juice that you don't need becomes like the norm and super acceptable.
Yep. That you just have every day. And I really liked, so they were, their job, they move people, and they went round to this photographer's house who had photos of all like people who were from there, like local residents, and then these massive oak trees in between the buildings. And I really liked that.
Nedry's house.
No, it's not Nedry, it's Newman.
Newman.
No, from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, but Newman from Seinfeld.
Oh, that's on my feet. No, Jurassic Park.
Do you know what? I was.
That's how most people will know him as Newman.
Always Jurassic Park.
Uh-oh, we're going to have a fallout.
Wayne Knight.
Yeah, it's a gentrification. Obviously, if you live in London, you can't go anywhere without it being there. And, you know, there's some, like, really heartfelt moments and real genuine sad moments where they're going to clear a house, and it's very clear that that person is either probably died or had their home repossessed or had to leave, and their belongings and their photos are there. And there's the hipster woman who's just like, oh, just clear it all out, throw it all out.
Yeah.
And they go to a hipster party, which is hilarious and horrible at the same time. Yeah. And there's just really funny moments of like a hipster on a ridiculous bike. And, you know, it is a massive problem.
I've seen that in Shoreditch. Someone rode a unicycle in Shoreditch, like when it all first started. And we were like, what the fuck is happening here?
There used to be a guy, I cycled, not so much recently, but I used to cycle quite a lot in the mornings in Regent's Park. And there's one guy when I first started doing it, like every Tuesday and Thursday, he'd be there on a unicycle, like doing the same route as everyone else on the bike. I loved it.
Did you ever get a stick and he was going past?
Just like send him off his bike.
Yeah.
But I work in regeneration, so I'm probably going to be seen as a one of those people that, you know, has to deal with gentrification all the time. But I mean, I deal with the socioeconomic side of it, so maximising the opportunities from regeneration projects, and I see some of the good things that come out of regeneration, to be honest. But it is a really difficult subject, and I absolutely understand that when people. I mean, to take Shoreditch, for instance, I lived in an estate, Crondall Court, in Shoreditch when I went to drama school. And I mean, now walking down there is a beautiful place. But I mean, and then I moved to Dalston. But even though there was, you know, lots of regeneration at the time, massive investment, it wasn't somewhere that I wanted to live long term, because it just didn't. It seemed like it's for a certain set of people of a certain age. And when I got to the age of wanting to have a child, I would want to have a child in Shoreditch or Dalston, and not because of what's happening there. It's just that it's still got the same set of problems. They just moved somewhere else, to be honest. There's pros and cons, and there's definitely conversations to be had, but it's very difficult.
I'm all up for money being put into areas, but it's when the money's
kicking people out.
Yeah, to basically, it's like what happened to Elephant and Castle, isn't it? You know, they kicked all the residents out, didn't they, and have bought multi-million-pound flats. It's just completely changed. Well, the face of the area.
Anywhere, Elephant Castle, Brixton, Peckham.
Yep.
It's all the places where there were, you know, traders who've been there, 50 years, and then suddenly rents are put up or things need to be refurbished and then rents are put up. It's the same for, you know, council blocks. People got the right to buy their home, so they bought the home and then they sold them back to the council, and then the council bought up the entire block and kicked the three people who couldn't buy their own house out and turned it into flats. And it's the same everywhere, but
that was a really funny thing at the beginning of the
just
film,
make films about it and tell people stories, I guess.
I love that at the start, because when they're sitting in the car, they're at the grand reopening of their local burger place, and they've got wedges rather than fries. And then he's like, "This burger tastes funny, and it's a vegan burger." And the waiter was like, "Well, did you specify you wanted meat?"
Yeah,
he's like, "What the fuck? It's a burger place." So, but yeah, that is, you know. Mm-hmm. Although, as Colin's mum says, she doesn't want to move out of the area because you can get good food now. So there are pros and cons, obviously, you know. The nice things do come in.
One of the things we haven't talked about are the three kind of main women in the story. I guess the main women, but Colin's mum. I guess they all kind of revolve. Well, Colin's mum, Colin's ex-girlfriend, who's trying to get back in touch with and together with, and also Miles's partner and their son.
Yeah.
And one thing I really liked about this is when Colin is talking about his ex-girlfriend, and obviously he still shares a massive infatuation for her, and that's not necessarily reciprocal. There's a whole kind of underlying reason for that. Miles just said, "Mate, she's a bitch, then leave her alone." But there is this whole underlying thing of, like, she saw him, like, literally, he beats a guy up. As the story is completely true, as told, he beats a guy up. He was on fire for reasons that weren't necessarily his, but deservedly, he kind of went to prison. Miles probably should have gone to prison as well because he was involved in it, but got away scot-free. And it's hard to unsee that when you see someone do something that's just so brutal. And I think that's, you know, Miles isn't an innocent bystander in this. Colin's not an innocent bystander in this, but he's now trying to turn his life around and try and do things.
Yeah.
And the relationship with his mum, I think, is really good and strong. When, like you say, there are benefits to regentrification. It's like, it's safer now here generally, and it's, you know, I can get better food and it's a better life. Yeah. But hopefully she wouldn't get turfed out.
Well, yeah.
Feel the need that she has to leave.
There's so much to think about, isn't it? And the way that they kind of introduce why his ex is that way.
Yeah.
You were like, well, why is she like this? And then when you finally get to see and obviously hear that interpretation, which is the, you know, what happened, but someone's point of view, then you're kind of like, okay, well, kind of see now why she's like that. And at that point, I think you start to shift from being sort of on, like, Miles's side of, you know, the sort of fence on that, to seeing her side, because obviously you realise how complicit Miles was in it, and basically you assume he just got out of jail playing the white card, and it completely changes then how you see his relationship with him and his behaviour, and then behaviour goes even darker. And there's just so much to unpick that it's amazing that it all happens in, you know, 1 hour and 35 minutes. There's so much going on. And there's so much powerful imagery as well, particularly we haven't really talked about the guilt that manifests in Colin with him not going to the police in his dreams and when he's out running and there's a black man by all of the gravestones. That was like really, really powerful. And
the thing is, you can totally understand it. You know, he's got 3 days left of probation. He's a black man. He sees another black man getting shot by a white police officer. Of course he's not going to do anything, because if he were to have done anything, he could have either been shot and killed himself, because obviously they can shoot whoever they want, or they're not going to believe him, are they? He's going against the system. So he couldn't do anything, as much as it would have been lovely if he could, but you can completely understand it.
But there are moments where he could have walked away from the relationship. And I know the friendship, which would have made his life easier. Wouldn't have made the film better, because that's what it's all about. But there are moments where I go, oh for fuck's sake.
Like, especially when he was walking away and he had the fucking gun and the police car. It's just get rid of the gun.
Why don't you get rid of the gun, you Wally?
But then what would he have done if he'd have thrown it away? Then obviously that's... if you can't just hide a gun, can you? Or put it somewhere, because if someone finds it...
No, you can't. If you're walking along and suddenly cast something aside when there's a police spotlight on you, that's going to make you...
Not there. Where they were behind the... They were behind like a warehouse or something.
You mean get rid of it at that point?
Yeah, I thought that he might have, you know, sort of dusted it down and wiped it and then put it somewhere. And then that would have been, it wouldn't have made, wouldn't have made that scene when he's walking quite as powerful, because.
But it just brought it home, didn't it? Because it's constant. It's just absolutely constant. If that was a white guy, he wouldn't have to... I mean, obviously, he probably would be worried about it because he had a gun on him, but he wouldn't have thought, I'm going to get stopped, because that's not his experience, is it? But for Colin, that's his experience. He's black, so he's going to get looked at.
But it's also the use of guns in America, isn't it? I mean, gun crime, the gun laws, and just how they approach the whole subject is...
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Bonkers. Why the fuck did he get a gun in the first place? Why would you be sitting in a car?
He said for protection of his family was his official line, but...
Why would you ever think that's a good idea?
If that's probably the point I would have walked away from the relationship with Miles. It's like, dude, you got a gun. Because all he said was, if you've got it on you, don't let me know. But for me, it's like, I'm not going to hang around with you whilst you've got a gun. I'm just literally, I just can't even... And if Miles was a good enough friend, he would have said, well, first of all, wouldn't have bought a gun. Yeah. Second of all, said, okay, you've got 3 days. And all the time, this relationship is really kind of tense, because I think sometimes when you've known someone just for your whole life, you feel that you have to be there, you have to be connected to them, like at the hip. And there is that, but also it's like, Miles is degrading Colin's life here, just so many different steps. And I can see why his ex is like, you've got to leave him, because he's just not doing any good. Yeah. Although Miles seems like good fun, but then also walking on with a gun. So it's like, that's not...
And that's an anger problem.
And a very... Guys, let's head to the scores.
If there's one TV show that is going to make the whole of the UK feel that little bit better about what's going on in the world at the moment, then it has to be The Great British Bake Off, which has returned to our screens. And if you want to really understand why the dough didn't rise or why the cookie crumbled, then you'll want to hear the Bake Down podcast, where my two co-hosts, former contestants Jane Beadle and Howard Middleton, who have been there and done it in the most famous baking tent of all, dissect each and every episode of the new 2020 series. Search The Bake Down wherever you get your podcasts and you'll be sure to find us.
So welcome to the FlixWatcher scoring system. All of the scores are out of 5. and you may have decimal places if you wish. And we will start with you, Amy, with your recommendability, please.
Recommendability. I reckon I'll give it a 4 out of 5. Because as much as I loved it and think everyone should watch it, I know that maybe the arty aspect of it might not be everyone's cup of tea.
Harry, your recommendability out of 5?
I'll go say 3.
By the way, as Helen said, you can go to decimal places. So you can.
Yeah, I'm going to go to 3. I definitely wouldn't. I would watch it again. But if they did a second film, I would watch that because I'd like to see how the relationship had changed. Because I think that's quite an important aspect of it. But yeah.
Do you think they stuck together?
Do you think?
Do you think they stuck together?
No.
Okay. Helen?
I really enjoyed this. I really like this. There's a lot of things that I liked about it. I actually ended up watching Do the Right Thing for the first time in the middle of the heat wave.
And oh, wow.
That absolutely blew me away. I mean, there's a lot in this that kind of happens in that, but the fact that Spike Lee was talking about it even then and we're still talking about it now is, you know, it's... The shit's been going on and it's still going on and it's probably still going to go on. So the fact that more people are making films and perhaps getting a bigger platform about and telling these kind of stories is really important. And yeah, I really like the, you know, the bromance between the two, obviously without the sour bits. And yeah, the poetry as well was like, wow, not really seen this. And I just thought it was really fresh and exciting. But admittedly, it might not be for everyone, but I would still recommend it pretty highly. So I'm going to give it a 4.7.
Oof. Oof. Amazing.
Can I change mine to 4.5?
No.
You can do. You can do.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4.5. It's a hard story. It's a hard story. But it's an important one, but it's also it takes you on a ride. It never slows down, really. But I think I'm taking points away because it is a bit arty-farty in places. So some people just don't like independent films, and there's a bit because the story is a bit tough. So it might be harder to sell to people. But I recommend it to as many people as possible, especially in these times with George Floyd and this the guy that got taken down today. It's an important thing that people understand what can happen in the States. I should say the guy that's taken out today wasn't black, but it's still like police lent on him on the hard. It's like a super boiling day, and he just lent on him on the floor in Arizona where it's like super hot. So he just like almost cooked in the heat.
Oh my god!
So it's like absolutely ridiculous. 4.5 for me. Repeat viewing score, Amy.
Repeat view. Well, I watched it, I reckon, about a month, maybe 2 months ago, and I've just watched it again, and I thoroughly enjoyed it as much the second time. So I reckon 4.5. Again.
I feel really mean because you guys really like it. But
No, you've got to be. We're representing like 7 billion people here.
I know, I feel really bad. And Amy's going to, like, kill me with
it. No, it's fine.
So I just would watch it again. And
you don't have to. We're not going to force you.
I am.
It's fine to have a preference.
4, I'll go with.
What?
That's very high. A 1. Well, I'd say, like, a 1. A 1 if you're never going to watch it again.
All right, 2.
So you might watch it again.
I might watch it again. I might watch it again after this to see if I can change my perspective.
Sure. Helen?
It is only 1 hour and 35 minutes as well, which is golden time for film. I probably wouldn't go out, and I'm not desperate to see it straight away, but like Reese, my husband, didn't watch it with me, and he sort of saw bits of it, and if he said like, oh, I'd kind of want to watch that film, I'd go, yeah, all right, I'll watch that. So probably 3.5.
I'm going 3.5. I really enjoyed it, but it's not gonna be like a super quick, I'm gonna watch that again this week or I'll probably watch it once every couple of years. This is my second time, and I was, you know, super glad that you recommend that you chose it, Amy.
Welcome.
I think it's fresh and exciting, and I love David Diggs and now Rafael Cazal, his friend as well. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what those guys are doing more and more of outside of Hamilton for David. And if you watch Kimmy Schmidt, David Diggs is in that as well, and he's great in that.
Oh, is he? So I think,
he appears in like some episodes. I think they've both got a really bright future ahead of them.
Also,
the soundtrack for this is really cool.
Yes.
The soundtrack for this is good because they both have their own kind of mixtapes that pull together for this on Spotify. Yeah. So that's good fun. 3.5. We're going to join Helen on that. Let's go to small screen score. Amy.
5. It was fine being on. I didn't feel like I missed anything not seeing it at cinema.
Yeah.
I think it was, perfect on a small screen.
Harry.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine though, seeing on in a cinema, the soundtrack and the colours and the filming would have been quite different, to be honest, because I tell you what I did, which I was going to say earlier, but I didn't say. There's lots of parts where you see the buildings and their pink and their blues and their pastel colours, and then you see the yellow removal truck. So I think maybe it would have been a different experience, but it didn't. I've got a nice big screen at home, surround sound.
All right. Yeah,
home cinema at home.
I've only just got it. It's not something I've had forever. I used to be on a screen like that. So. Moving with the times.
Helen.
When I was watching it, I just kind of felt that they'd sort of made it for people watching it on Netflix. And, you know, these are the kind of people who are going to watch it. And, you know, it's not, a Martin Scorsese kind of affair where if you don't go and see it at the cinema, then you're going to get shot sort of thing. So I enjoyed watching it at home on a TV. I don't think it lost anything. So, a 5 for me on that one.
Yeah, I'm going for 4 here. I think I was kind of gutted I didn't see it at the cinema. When people could go to cinemas free and easily. But I think it was just out for a week in the UK, and I was just like, I just could not make it work. I think the small screen score is lower because I did try, but I couldn't make it. But I think it does work perfectly well, but I think it would have been so nice, as Harry said, just the beats and the soundtrack, and there are some kind of city Oakland scapes, which are quite nice. Engagement score, Amy.
Engagement score. Sorry, what does that mean?
So, were you tempted to like check your phone? So, if you're like checking your phone or
getting not up and
not pausing it, then that's low. But if you're like glued to the screen from start to finish,
I really try not to look at my phone at all if I'm watching a film. And it was only an hour and a half, so I didn't need to go to the toilet. So, 5.
Car.
Helen.
Oh. Go to the toilet.
Harry.
Oh, sorry, Harry.
Oh, too many H's.
Loads of H's. Did I watch? I think I had to stop it once. I think I looked at my phone. I think I made a cup of tea. 3.5. Look at Amy's face.
I watched it with my friend because I was staying at my friend's, and her and her husband were on their phones pretty much the whole time. But they are like that. Like, I've been to the cinema with her before and she's got her phone out and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? You can't do that in the cinema. But yeah, I think that's just different. I like to watch a film. I don't want my phone on.
I'd slap the phone out of the hands if they did that. Helen?
I was pretty much fully engaged for the whole of this. I did get a bit tempted with a little bit of checking, like, who are these people? Would I have seen them in anything before? So I can't give it a 4 marks, but 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I'm going to 5 here. I loved it both times, and I think how they interweave their own lives and the poetry stroke, hip-hop rap, and the story they're telling, both in the broader sense with the police shooting, but also the kind of relationship and on a lot of different fronts, I think is really good. And it does pay for you to pay attention to it. So that gives us an overall score of 4.04375, which is good.
Yeah, that's good.
It's good, but, you know, it's not
So we go to Twitter before every episode and just get your guys' opinion, whoever's listening. And we just put a little tweet out, and in this case saying, hey, we're reviewing Blindspotting with Harry and Amy from Mum and Mumma Pod. Have you seen it? Tell us your thoughts for an on-air score. Sorry, tell us your thoughts for a... have you seen it? Tell us your thoughts and your score out of 5 stars for an on-air shout-out on FlixWatcher. And we had one response for this.
Yep, so we had one response from Lee Thomas. Yes, loved it, and have recommended it to anyone who will listen. Could be a 2010s update to Do the Right Thing. Also genuinely hilarious in places. Kudos at David Diggs and Raphael Cazal, and he's given it 5 stars.
Nice. Well, Amy and Harry, can you sign up quickly by letting us know where we can find your podcast and say goodbye to everyone listening?
Yeah, you can find us on all good podcast platforms. Platforms, Mum and Mumma Pod, and we're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. It's just all Mum and Mumma Pod, and we're really nice. please listen to our podcast.
One of us is.
Harry's not. Yeah, Mum and Mumma. Thank you. Thanks for
having us.
Thanks for coming
on. Thanks so much. Thank
you. Bye.
Enjoyed this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast? Why not leave us a 5-star review on iTunes? You can also follow us at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter, and we're at FlixWatcher on Instagram. Thanks as always to the Mighty People for their mighty, mighty tunes, and Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills. If you're looking to get your podcast edited as sweet as this, get in touch with Ben, and that's Rockwood, R-O-K-K Wood Audio. Tell them FlixWatcher sent you.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.